Good afternoon, everyone. We'd like to call the first meeting of the Transportation Finance Committee to order for this biennium. Welcome to members and to guests who are here. We'll all get to know each other better as we work our way through the session. I believe we do have a quorum. Of course, we don't have any minutes to approve anyway yet, so we'll create some today. With that, we're going to, I believe you should have all received the committee rules via email. Are there any questions regarding committee rules? They're pretty standard, similar to what other committees have, and of course, the chair has his discretion to adjust them as necessary, and I will do my best to accommodate everyone. With that, I would like to have members introduce themselves briefly before we dive into the overviews. I think we'll start with Representative Bernardi. She's in a good spot over there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome to Transportation Finance Committee.
Thank you. You have noted that this is my first meeting.
Right, exactly. Glad to have you. I'm Connie Bernardi. I represent the communities of New Brighton, Fridley, and Spring Lake Park, just on top of the Twin Cities.
Thank you. Representative Sundin, as long as you're down in that neck of the woods, why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Sundin from District 11A, which encompasses Carlton County and a couple other communities. But this would be my fifth round here with the Transportation Committee. So thank you.
Welcome back. Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Clark Johnson. I represent District 19A, which is all of Nicollet County, part of Mankato, and Kasota in Lee Seward County.
Thank you. Representative Hausman. If you'd pull the microphone down, please.
Yes, I'm on this chair that's like resting on the ground.
I thought you were getting shorter.
I know there's a handle here somewhere. I represent a few neighborhoods in St. Paul and three suburban cities, Falcon Heights, Lauderdale, and most of Roseville.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. And the Democrat lead on the Transportation Committee comes back to recreate his role from last year.
That's right.
And happy to have him. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and congratulations on your appointment. I'm Frank Hornstein. I represent a district in southwest Minneapolis and parts of downtown Minneapolis, District 61A. And this is starting my eighth term here in the Minnesota House of Representatives and eight terms on the Transportation Finance Committee. So, and I had the honor to chair it for a couple of years from 2013 to 2015.
Well, thank you, Frank, and I look forward to working with you and with your depth of knowledge. I know you're going to be very helpful.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to try and get this right. Representative Salk.
Very good. That's amazing how well you said that. I represent 25B, and it's northern half of Rochester, and a little bit of the county or the townships on the north edge. Obviously my first year in the legislature, and I'm very proud of the fact that I found this room.
Good job, and welcome to the committee. That makes two of us. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if it's congratulations or condolences for being the chair of this committee, but anyway, that is. I'm Representative Nelson. I represent House District 40A. I'm serving this is my eighth term. Previously was on the Transportation Committee, but when I was chair of Government Operations, they met at the same time, and even though I may be sometimes schizophrenic, I can't be in two places at once. But I'm back.
Well, thank you, Representative Nelson. Whether it's condolences or congratulations is partially dependent on you. Representative Mason, we miss you on the way by.
Thank you. I'm Sandra Mason. I represent District 51A, which is most of Eagan west of 35E and then all of northern Burnsville.
Thank you, Representative. I'm going to shift to the other side of the table and start with our other. We only have two freshmen on this committee, and they must be the best freshmen in the building, I'm sure.
We'd like to think so. I'm Regina Barr, and I represent District 52B, which includes Invergrove Heights, Sunfish Lake, parts of Mendota Heights, and a sliver of Eagan.
Thank you, Representative Barr, and welcome to the committee. a fellow member of the All-Paul Caucus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's always a pleasure to be in that caucus. My name is Paul Rosenthal. I represent District 49B, which is Southern Edina, Western Bloomington, and portions of Eden Prairie and Minnetonka, and this is my fourth term.
Thank you, Representative Rosenthal. Representative Kosnick.
John Kosnick, I'm from Lakeville. This will be my second term and second time being on the Transportation Committee, so I've enjoyed working with the returning members and look forward to making continued progress.
Thank you. Representative Miller.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm Representative Tim Miller. I represent District 17A, which includes the counties of Swift, Chippewa, almost all of Renville. You have two of my townships in Renville County, and then I have four townships in Candiwai County. And it's a privilege to be on your committee this year. Thank you.
Thank you, but they're my townships, not your townships.
Did I say they were yours?
Those two are your townships. You said that I represent two of your townships, and it's just not true.
Well, that could be, no.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric Lucero, I represent District 30B, which includes the cities of Albertville, St. Michael, Otsego, Hanover, and the Wright County portion of Dayton up in the northwest of the Twin Cities. I was on the Transportation Committee last term. This is my second term, and looking forward to the great work we're going to produce.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. Representative Daniels?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and my apologies for being late. There was only so many carts to go around, and as you know, I'm not the fastest walker in the world, so it took me a little longer, but I made it, and I'm really happy to be on this committee. I think it'll be a good chance to get some things done, and hopefully we'll have a good session here, and State of Minnesota is waiting for us to get it done. Get it done, as they keep telling me, so I'm very pleased to be here.
Thank you, Representative. And the Chair of the Transportation Policy Committee, Representative Rundeck.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and very excited to be here working on this committee again. I think there's several of us who have been on it now for four terms, maybe, and certainly our minority lead has been on for a long time. I serve 38A, and it's nestled between 35W and 35E up in the Lionel Lakes, Circle Pines area. So I know my freeways.
Thank you, Representative Rundeck. And the Vice Chair of the Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Petersburg. I represent Owatonna-Wauseka, the south part of Minnesota. Owatonna-Wauseka, 24A.
Thank you. I'm going to ask staff members to introduce themselves. Jenny, would you go ahead?
Jenny Nash, CFL Research.
Matt Barris, House Research, which is one of the nonpartisan offices in the House.
Andrew Lee, House Fiscal Staff, also nonpartisan.
Chelsea Peter, Committee Legislative Assistant.
Joe Marble, Committee Administrator. Partisan Office.
Brian Barrow, House GOP Research.
Thank you, Brian. I believe we've covered the table now. Just a couple of other quick things. I will make every effort to start the committee promptly. I try to pride myself in starting on time. Of course, today we were limited by session, but otherwise we will run on House time, not Senate time. So we will start and end on time whenever possible. Beyond that, I try to run a committee that is respectful of everyone's interests and make sure that your voices are heard. I will reveal one of my faults. I have a bad eye, so you know I don't always see people on the left side, so make sure you get Chelsea's attention so that I don't miss anyone during committee. With that, unless there are some questions about procedures, Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not about procedure. I'm just wondering about how it's going to go for today. How long do you expect our session to go today? I do have meetings starting at 3 with people, so I just wanted to let you know that I may be leaving early if we don't.
I intend to end today at our regularly scheduled time of 2:45. We'll just get as much done as we can, and you know, it's early. We have we can catch up in future sessions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. With that, we will dive into House Research presentation. They've been working diligently. I will make one other remark, and that is about this particular room. It's not my favorite room. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm pretty sure I speak also for Representative Hausman. The technology here is very limited, and when we need to be televised, we cannot meet here. I've already had a complaint from one of the members who couldn't be here right now that would have liked to have watched the tape of the meeting, and we'll be unable to do that. So I'm pursuing other accommodations, but so far that hasn't come to pass. Gentlemen, whoever's going first, go ahead. Introduce yourself, please, for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, again, my name is Matt Burris with House Research. I'm joined with Andy Lee with House Fiscal. We were asked to provide a presentation that gives an overview of transportation finance. Quite a bit of the complexity around transportation finance really is on the highway side, and so we'll be spending a fair amount of the time on that. And given the start today, I'm not sure how far we'll get through this part one highway finance focus, but we'll be looking at some of the structure, the revenue, some of the highway funds, talking about the distribution and formulas, and recapping from there. And with that, I'll start in with a little bit of background information. To talk about the finance system, one starting point is for highways is the system of streets and highways. And there are actually multiple jurisdictions and different highway systems that kind of form a network throughout the state. So the highest level is the interstate system, the trunk highway system, U.S. highways, and those are all under the purview of MnDOT, and that's, broadly speaking, the trunk highway system. And then there are separate sets of streets and highways under the jurisdiction of local units of government, so counties, cities, and townships. They each have road systems under their purview, and that'll become quite relevant once we start looking at the formulas and allocation of funds and aids. So one aspect of the local road systems is that it's actually further divided. So both the counties and the cities have county highways and city streets under their purview, and a subset of those are designated as state aid highways and state aid streets. That's part of the local road system. Again, that'll come up when we get into the allocation and the formulas. Talking also at something of a high level about highway funding, there are a couple aspects worth noting and highlighting. One is that there's a constitutional structure that flows into a statutory framework that dedicates revenues. So the Minnesota Constitution actually lays out some of the high framework that drives, so to speak, highway finance. A lot of the general fund appropriations in the transportation field are not actually for highways. Actually, the vast majority is for other areas. So we'll be delving a bit into transit probably next week. Department of Public Safety is divided up into several divisions, some of which fall under kind of more the purview of the transportation committees. Local roads receive a combination of funds. We'll be talking about that further. But at a kind of broad level, there's some state assistance. There's also federal and local dollars that go into to fund the local system. This next chart is small here, and we will be walking through some of the details behind it. But the idea is to try to give a general visual overview sense of how the dollars flow and what the finance structure looks like. So there are a couple of core taxes that are related to transportation. Some of this is constitutionally driven. That flows then into a couple of different funds. And those are accounting funds of the state. So it's similar to the general fund, but separate, distinct. And from there, the dollars flow out to state and local highway purposes.
Then, Mr. Chair and members, for the record, my name is Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll be covering the major transportation tax revenue sources. The three of them are the motor fuels tax or gas tax, the registration tax or TAB fees, and the motor vehicle sales tax. starting with the motor fuels tax. That is a 28.5 cent excise tax on the purchase of gasoline and diesel. I should note that this is an excise tax, not a sales tax, and the distinction being that the tax is based on the number of gallons consumed rather than the price of the fuel. That's a distinction in most states and with federal government. The tax is an excise tax like Minnesota's, though there are a few where the tax is based on the price of the fuel rather than the amount consumed. I'll also note that other fuel types are taxed on the proportional amount of energy for the vehicle. Now, about 2.5% of the revenue from the gas tax is attributed to non-highway purposes, so that's regular gasoline being used for ATVs and snowmobiles, and are dedicated by statute to mostly DNR purposes, but also a small amount for the Department of Revenue for the cost of collecting the tax. The rest is 100% constitutionally dedicated for highway purposes. And occasionally there's a little bit of confusion specifically on the gas tax and the dedication to highway purposes because the federal gas tax, which is also imposed at a rate of 18.4 cents per gallon, is the majority is used for highway distribution at the federal level, but a small amount of that is used for transit uses, again distributed at the federal level. But on the Minnesota gas tax, it is 100% dedicated for highway purposes. This is a chart showing the last time there was a change in the motor fuels tax resulting from the 2008 legislation. The rate was increased from 20 cents to 28.5 cents at this phased-in schedule. Moving on to the second largest source of revenue for the state sources for transportation, the registration tax or TAB fees. This is an annual tax on vehicles, on passenger vehicles registered in the state. The rate is $10 plus 1.25% of the manufacturer's base price, and then that base price is depreciated over the series of over the course of 10 years, 10% a year, to a point when after year 10, the base taxes is $35. Moving on to the most recent addition to the transportation, major transportation tax is the motor vehicle sales tax, commonly abbreviated as MVEST. This is a 6.5% sales tax on new and used vehicles, and it is in lieu of the general sales tax. So a purchaser of a vehicle only pays this tax and does not pay the general state sales tax in addition to this. The dedication for transportation was as part of via constitutional amendment passed in 2006 and phased in over several years. But this tax, the dedication is for both highway and transit uses, and the constitutional language states that no more than 60% may be used for highways and no less than 40% for transit.
Mr. Lee, if I could ask you a quick question. Have we ever deviated from that 40-60 split since that was enacted?
Mr. Chair, and members, no.
Thank you.
And then moving on, this is, again, just another chart showing the split in that MVEST revenue with 60% for the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, which Mr. Burris will get into a little bit later. 36% for the Metropolitan Council and 4% for Greater Minnesota Transit. And that allocation between transit is a statutory formula. Moving on to the next slide, this is actually a cue to take out something in your packets. The chart that looks like this. This chart tries to capture the history of revenue collected from the three major transportation taxes and changes at various points. from 1974 to fiscal 2015. I'll start on the motor fuels tax at the top. So you can see a number of changes, rate increases between 1975 and the late 80s. And then relatively stable growth through the 1990s into the mid-2000s. Now, one of the drivers of revenue for the gas tax is the amount of fuel consumed. So the more vehicle miles traveled, the greater population, the more the tax will bring in. But if you were to look at a chart of gas prices, it would be a lot of ups and downs and more roller coaster, whereas this is relatively stable. And that's kind of a factor of this being an excise tax rather than a sales tax on the price of the fuel. So you can tell it's relatively stable, with the exception of when the tax is changed or over a broad period of expansion in the 1990s. And you can also, I also highlight on the years, the recession years, and you can see that the gas tax doesn't react that much to recession, so it doesn't decrease much. Then moving on to the motor vehicle registration tax, the second chart, you can see a bit more of an even growth, and this is due to the nature of the registration tax being related to the value of the vehicle. So as inflation happens and as vehicle prices just rise with inflation, the registration tax captures that increase. But there's two big changes in fiscal 2001 and then with the 2008 transportation bill. The first one was capping of the annual payment and then lifting of that cap after 2008. So you can see with the decrease between 2000 and 2001 with the cap and then the slow growth after the 2008 package, and it is slow growth and not kind of chunked up suddenly because the change in 2008 applied to vehicles going forward after that legislation passed, and so it didn't apply to vehicles retroactively. Then going to the third source, again, I'll just note from the left-hand side, this is when the motor vehicle sales tax was dedicated for the general fund rather than for transportation purposes. And then starting in fiscal 2002, it started being used for highway purposes, but this was not, in a sense, a constitutionally dedicated use. This was essentially general fund spending attributed to the motor vehicle sales tax. But then after the legislation in 2006, that was locked in and dedicated to roads and transit. And I also will note that in terms of revenue volatility, the motor vehicle sales tax does tend to be the most volatile.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lee. I believe Representative Barr has a question.
Yes, thank you, Chair Torkelson. The question is, point of clarification for the motor vehicle registration taxes, is there any difference between consumer and commercial, or are they all equally applied?
Mr. Lee or Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barr, jumping back to, jumping back to this slide, there is a difference. So the formula that Mr. Lee had laid out is for passenger automobiles, and then there's a separate schedule for trucks and some other types of vehicles that's based on weight and age, and there's some depreciation type schedule that's somewhat similar. Motorcycles are at a flat, I want to say $6, although I shouldn't just throw numbers out there without double checking, but it's something small.
A follow-up, Representative Barr?
No, that's it. Thank you.
So back to the truck thing, and I happen to be a truck owner. There's a fairly substantial, for a large truck, there's a fairly substantial tab fee for the weight. And then in addition to that, there's a depreciating tab fee for the vehicle or for the truck?
Mr. Chair, yes. The schedule reduces over time. I'll have to go back and refresh my memory on the details behind it, however.
I've been paying that for 30 years, and I can't remember myself. So, And members, I just, if you do have questions, we will take questions anytime. So, Representative Salk?
Mr. Chair, does this formula then get applied, in trucks based on use? So, like, a commercial use truck versus a farm use truck versus a non-farm use truck, possibly? I'm just making an assumption of how Mr. Torkelson might use his vehicle.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, there is a distinction in registration across various types of vehicles, and there is a distinction in use. And so, depending on how the vehicle is classified, the annual registration taxes can be imposed differently. So farm trucks is one of the areas in which there's a different
right.
application of how the tax structure works.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. My trucks are farm trucks, but they are, depending on how much they're used, it gets kind of complicated.
So if I can, you're, as the user in a farm context, you're able to assign a proportion of use kind of change to the tax or to the license tax?
Mr. Burris, I don't know.
I mean, that might be farther in the weeds than.
Yeah, we're getting a little deep in the weeds, I'm afraid. But I can assure you that I pay hundreds of dollars registration every year for my farm trucks that haul grain.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe so.
We do have the option of registering those trucks quarterly. So if you know a truck is not going to be used for a full quarter, you can not register it for a portion of the year. Moving on.
Mr. Chair and members, moving on to other revenue sources for transportation, I'll note federal aid, also general fund appropriations, although for the highway system in recent years, those have been relatively rare or minor. And then there are a few miscellaneous sources, mostly within the trunk highway system. That's the state-owned roads. These things tend to be items like sale of property, interest earns, penalties, fees, and the like. One more complex transportation-related tax is the motor vehicle lease sales tax. So this is the tax that is paid on vehicle leases. This is a general sales tax that is collected at usually the car dealer level, and dealers do not differentiate between the sales tax and the general sales tax, but the Department of Revenue estimates how much revenue for the general sales tax is attributed to motor vehicle leases and then assigns a number to how much the motor vehicle lease sales tax generates. In the 2008 transportation legislation, the motor vehicle lease sales tax was estimated to be bringing in about $32 million a year. As part of the change in that legislation, all of the increase over the $32 million that was then going to the general fund would get distributed half between Greater Minnesota Transit and half between five of the seven metropolitan counties in the Twin Cities, and the five are the seven excluding Hennepin and Ramsey counties. You just go to the next slide. So after amount was here, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And what was the rationale for leaving out Ramsey and Hennepin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, I won't go too much into legislative intent, but the math of the formula and the distribution between the seven metropolitan counties is based off of population. So if Hennepin and Ramsey were part of the distribution, a larger share of that allocation would be going to those two counties. But as far as the legislative intent behind that, I'll leave that aside.
Perhaps Representative Hornstein could dig into his deep well of knowledge.
Mr. Chair, my recollection on that is when we were putting together the bill and finance bill in 2008, there was definitely discussion among the metro counties about this, and I think there was some division on that issue. And but as I recall, Dakota County, was interested in this formula, and that position prevailed, and I think that's what we have to this day.
Representative Hauser.
And Mr. Chair, I guess I would just make the observation that actually Dakota County has a larger population than Ramsey County. So if you were suggesting that it had something to do with total population.
Mr. Burris or Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair, while Mr. Lee is taking a look at that, if I might set a little bit of context to the 2008 legislation for those who aren't familiar with it. That was the most recent major finance package that the legislature has enacted, and it had a lot of complexity and quite a few elements to it, and it's already been a little bit of reference to it. So it included a large bonding package. It had change to the motor fuels tax, change to the registration tax. It also authorized a local option sales tax. And the original version, as it was introduced before it finished going through the process, that local option sales tax was for the metropolitan region and was at a higher rate than what was ultimately enacted, and had more flexibility in use of the dollars. And so roads were part of the original vision. And when the rate was reduced and roads were removed for as part of the allowable uses of those dollars, part of that package change also involved the introduction of the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue allocation. So from one vantage point, there was a little bit of a balancing that happened as the overall package moved through the legislative process in order to provide a funding stream for roads, or kind of backfill what was being perceived as a lost funding stream for roads, particularly in the metropolitan counties outside of Hennepin and Ramsey. But that might just be one perspective that could be expressed about what was taking place in 2008.
And prior to 2012, all that money went to the general fund?
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. After 2008, the estimated motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue was below $32 million, so neither the transportation funds, the counties, or Greater Minnesota Transit were getting anything from that stream anyways.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it was anticipated at the time in 2008 that it would a modest amount would go to transit and to metropolitan area roads, and this general sales tax, this kind of revenue from the general sales tax has some volatility to it, and at that point, in the ensuing couple of years, the revenue didn't match what had been anticipated. So 2012 was the first year in which dollars actually started to flow out of the general fund.
And the rate on these motor vehicle lease sales taxes is just the straight 6.5, or is it the 6 7/8?
Mr. Chair and members, it also does include the legacy amount. So it's the 6.5 general sales tax plus the legacy 3/4.
So that goes to legacy, though, just like from any other sale?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there's been some discussion on that issue in the last couple of years. Currently what happens is the language expresses $32 million as a specified dollar amount is what remains in the general fund. And from that, the portion that reflects the legacy percentage on the general sales tax is pulled and sent to the legacy funds. So essentially it's coming out of the general fund share, if you will, so that transit and metro roads are getting all of the increment over the $32
million.
There have been a couple of different proposals in the last couple of years on whether the transportation side or the general fund side should sort of take the hit on legacy. And so far, it's been the general fund.
I was about to try and grab that money, but now that the chair of legacy has walked in the room, I guess I'll not do that. We've had some members join us since we did our round of introductions. For those members that just came in, I've asked the other members to sing their favorite song. And and they did a fine job. No, I'm kidding. But Representative Gunther, if you would introduce yourself for the committee, just briefly.
I'm Representative Bob Gunther, down south, District 23A.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Chair. Representative Howe.
Jeff Howe, I represent District 13A, the Cold Spring area of St. Cloud.
Representative Rarick.
Jason Rarick, represent 11B.
And Representative Keel.
I'm Deb Keel. I live by Kirkston, Minnesota, and represent 1B, which is Polk, Pennington, and Red Lake counties.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee. Go ahead with the presentation. Representative Miller has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two real quick questions of clarification on this graph. So, in the statute, in the legislation, as the sales taxes have increased, that's why we're seeing the expansion in the transit and metro roads off of that? It's the way the formula works, or is that change in legislation?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a result of more people leasing vehicles. The tax hasn't changed.
Correct. What I'm saying is as we see graphically the transit and metro roads expanding, that was just with the legislation. As the more money came in, that's just what's reflective of that, correct? And one more question, Mr. Chair. Was that in the 2008 legislation?
Representative Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Going back to Representative Hausman's question of why not Hennepin and Ramsey County, I can't answer that question, but I do recall it was 2 years ago, Senator Novak came into my office, former Senator Novak, and he laid out the background on this very issue. And it was a 15 to 20 minute conversation, and it was a very valuable conversation. In fact, I would like to revisit that, but it did lay out the history and the background, and he was urging not to change it and to maintain, because there were reasons of the rural-metro split, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, he'd be a great resource to go into detail.
Thank you, Representative. We have another member of the committee has joined us. We've asked the other committee members to sing their favorite song as sure. Part of their introduction, and it's gone very, very well so far.
Mr. Chair, sorry I'm late. I was at a couple other meetings. Dave Baker, representing District 17B from Wilmer, Candiota County. It's a pleasure to be on finance and cannot sing. Sorry.
Thanks anyway. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if Scott Peterson from MnDOT could come down and give us his perspective on that, because I've heard perspectives from different sides of the thing. I don't know if you'd feel comfortable.
We will dive deeper into this at a future date, I think, rather than take too much time right now. I'm sure it's one of those areas where it's worth spending some time so that we understand the history and the reasons for those divisions and whether or not there's opportunities there for any changes. Gentlemen, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, briefly touching to one of Representative Hausman's questions about population between the counties. Representative Hausman, if jumping ahead here, if you're looking at the commissioner's orders on page 5, and we'll be getting to this later in the presentation, there's a chart that shows county population in the metropolitan area, one that shows Ramsey at 229,000. That number is the population reduced by cities of the first class, so that's taking out the city of St. Paul, which is approximately 300,000. So, in fact, Ramsey County has about 530,000 people, and Dakota County has about 411,000 people. Sorry.
Very good. You know, gentlemen, I see here that we are kind of getting into the other funding. I'll take your discretion on whether this is a good time to break or if you want to do a couple more slides. Can kind of hate to get in the middle of something and...
Mr. Chair and members, it might be better to hold the bonding discussion until another.
Representative Hauser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this can be for a future meeting, but does anywhere here, does it tell us what the entire amount of new money, if you included also federal money and property taxes, that how much in any given year we have from all sources, including property taxes and federal funding? Is there a total like that?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, that's a number that we could work on. It would be pulling, in terms of property taxes, it would be pulling data from local government spending on transportation as well. But I could certainly work on that.
Well, I just thought it might be a number that they have come with.
And I would guess we'll get some more elucidation on that from the department when we hear from them. Members, if you have thoughts and ideas about what we should be covering here in these early meetings, if there's something that I've left out, feel free to make suggestions to me or the CA. I'd be happy to try and work any information into these committee meetings that you are interested in. But we will continue this discussion at our next meeting. Our next meeting is the Tuesday the 10th at our regularly scheduled time of 1 p.m. Welcome aboard, everyone. I look forward to a great session. This meeting is adjourned.